What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, how you doing, folks? This is That Story Show, where we bring your real life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 424, brought to you the week of September 8th, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. And today we're bringing you bonus content from episodes 352, 353, and 355. This is what patrons get every single week. You can become a patron for as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy some bonus content that you've never heard before. Thanks, and we'll see you next week with a regular episode.
Fill this room with the aroma of your...
Welcome to Stories That We Couldn't Fit Onto the Show, where we share stories that we couldn't fit on the show. Why do I trip over that? I did it every week. Where we share stories. Where we share stories.
We do that.
Well, this one is from... It's a long one. I got to scroll all the way down. Riley Wood. And it's called Science Sicko. And man, it is a travesty of a story. The story is very well written. It's got a hilarity factor to it, but it's dark.
It's dark.
So get ready for this dark comedy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Hi, James and John. I have another darker story for you. Before COVID hit and I was able to be in school in person, my algebra teacher, who we'll call Mr. S for legality, had a fun habit of telling us fun stories from his life after he had finished teaching the lesson and we were waiting for the bell to ring. Well, one day we were sitting silently in class, getting a head start on our homework, and he asked if we wanted to hear a story about his days in college. Yes, all of us clamored, knowing Mr. S's reputation as a good storyteller, and he started on this tale. And I fact-checked this, by the way. I took parts of it and searched for it because it's so unbelievable that I thought it was lifted from some sort of storytelling website, but I found no evidence of this not being a completely original story, but it is dark. So, well, class, he said with a somewhat embarrassed smile over his face, what I am about to tell you is something that you should never, ever do, ever. What I did was a big mistake and very, very wrong. Oh, said those of us who are paying more attention to his story than our homework. Back when I was in college studying science, my professor told my class that we were going to be dissecting cats the next day and we all needed to be prepared. So my lab partner and I took this to mean that we needed to provide a cat for the dissection. A couple of people in the audience, cat lovers, turned green. Anyways, we were freaking out. Say what?
He thought they needed to provide their own.
Yeah. So it's a comedy of errors from now on out right here. So
here we go.
Anyways, we were freaking out. How are we supposed to get a cat at such short notice? My partner was freaking out so much. I told him I would take care of it and I would find us a cat so he wouldn't fail the class.
Oh, no.
On my way home that night, after I had assured my partner that everything would turn out okay, I saw my street was actually full of homeless cats just walking around in the twilight. This is perfect, I thought to myself. And I went back to my apartment to grab a white trash bag. A few of us in the class, seeing where he was going with this, also started to turn green. It was hard work, Mr. S said, but eventually I was able to catch the cat.
It was hard work.
And I put it in the trash bag I had brought. And I tell you, though, once this thing was in there, it started clawing around and generally acting like a cat in a sack would be expected to.
I can't imagine.
So I started getting nervous, thinking some animal rights people would see me gathering supplies for tomorrow's dissection and call the cops. So I looked around for the nearest hard object, and I found a dumpster.
I
took that trash bag, and I swung it around and hit it as hard as I could to the metal side of the dumpster.
No,
said one of the particularly cat-loving classmates.
Oh, no.
Yes, I did, and I feel bad about it now, but I swung that trash bag against that dumpster over and over until the cat stopped making noise.
This is incredibly dark.
And then I took it home, and I didn't open the bag. I saw the side of it drenched in red, and a shiver of apprehension for what I had done washed over me, but I brushed it off, telling myself that it was all for science, and I was going to get a good grade on my project. So a violence-happy classmate started giggling at this point, and I got a little frightened. The next day, I brought my dead cat in a bag into the dissection and I told my lab partner what I had done. He grinned and said that he knew we were going to get an A+ for the dissection because we were the only ones who had even brought a cat. Wait, I thought. If we're the only ones, and sure enough, the teacher walked into the classroom carrying a tray of formaldehyde covered dead cats for the dissection. It turned out we hadn't needed to provide our own cat after all. We quietly disposed of the body and proceeded with the dissection of the legally euthanized cat rather than trying to sort through the mangled and bloody mess of the cat that I had killed the night before. It turns out we didn't get a bad grade on the project either. Almost everyone in the class was either horrified or dying laughing at Mr. S being a cat murderer. I myself, not caring much for cats, but not hating any living creature, found myself with my jaw hanging about down to my toes. And just then the bell rang and we all hurried to the next class, not sure what to think about the fact that our algebra and science teacher was a cat murderer. I hope you enjoyed this story. Sorry if it was a bit long. Peace, love, and long lives to all of your cats. Riley Wood.
Thanks, Riley. Mr. S.
Oh,
wow.
I told you it was dark.
That was so, I mean, there was, you remember that movie? I think it was called Desperate or Extreme Measures or something like that. Desperate Extreme Measures. It was about these scientists who are doing experiments on homeless people.
Oh,
it's not a true story. They were getting these homeless people. I think Morgan Freeman was in it too. And he's like, one of the guys, we've got to do what we've got to do, you know, something like that. I don't remember, but that's exactly what that story reminded me of. These kids, we got to get an A. Where are we going to find a cat?
Oh man. So terrible.
I don't mind sharing this here on the show because I don't think my dad will ever find it. Hopefully he won't, but my dad has a lot of cats.
Yeah.
We went a lot. I mean, like probably over 20.
Wow.
And he's given them all names. He used to be a guy that just, he hated the cats, you know. My stepmom would feed them. He's like, don't feed them. They're going to stick around here. And he didn't want them around the house, you know, because they were, you know, cats. And eventually something changed in his heart and he fell in love with having these cats. So he felt the need to rescue all of them. I think one of the the stray cats that was hanging around his house got injured on his property. And he was like, oh, I got to take care of these things now. So now he like is the cat man of the neighborhood.
And oh, boy.
All the cats show. But anyways, a predator got one of his, I feel like I have to whisper this. Predator got one of his cats the other day and he posted on Facebook how sad he was. I mean, I feel bad because I know my dad's heart breaks for this, but on the inside, I was like, well, Dad, there's one down. Just get 20 more out of your house and you'll be just fine.
Oh, they're in his house, bless his heart.
Oh, yeah. And I bet you after this event with the predator catching one of his cats, they will all be inside his house. Like he'll go outside at night and call all of the cats into the house.
Oh, man.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, that hits home with me because my mom had so many dogs in the house. So, and cats. It was terrible.
I wonder if Riley's teacher, Mr. S, was driving through my dad's neighborhood. That's where his cat went.
I don't know. He didn't say where he was from, but yeah. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, let me read this story from Aaron. This has been titled Wrist Wrench, and I have no idea why. I just listened to episode 135, Bike Wrecks. I remember that episode. I remember that story. Yeah, that was there's some good
stuff. You know, that was like 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, Bike Wrecks.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that I think that was the episode where I told the story about the bush word.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to go back and listen to episode 135, and if I didn't tell it, then send a note. send us an email. Anyway, while I was listening to the stories, it reminded me of one of my own, which is what happens. This is the time I tried to be Superman. The story's a little long, just so you know. I grew up in a small town with a population of less than 1,000 people. This happened the summer before I entered middle school, so I was 12 or so, I think. Anyway, my friends and I would ride our bikes around all the time to each other's houses or wherever we wanted to go and hang out. That was the beauty of being a kid in a small town, right?
My kids will never experience that. I mean, they had it a little bit in Florida, but not here.
No, my kids.
And there were so many pedophiles that lived in Florida that it was seriously, the map, you know, you'd look up the pedophiles on the map and the dots were everywhere. And so you never let your kids go too far.
Yep. Stay right here. Well, one day we rode the 3 or 4 miles out to my friend's house to play video games or whatever we were doing that day. And when we were done, we got on our bikes to head into town. I decided that I was going to show off and ride as fast as I could down this gravel road and beat them all to the end of it. This was great at first. I was going really fast. I was way ahead of them and coming up on a hill. So I was going to be able to gain even more speed. I get over the top of the hill and I start pedaling as hard as I could down the hill. Well, I must have hit a rock or something because the next thing I knew, I was flying through the air.
Dun, dun, dun.
Time stood still. I saw a honeybee flapping its wings at a very slow pace. Actually, the time didn't last that long at all. I felt a sharp pain in my knees from the gravel digging into them, and I thought I must have sprained my wrist when I hit the ground. My friends caught up and made sure I was okay, and then they thought it was a pretty epic crash. Anyways, I got on my bike, and I started walking back to my friend's house to see if someone could give me and my bike a ride home since the bike wasn't operational anymore. And in the meantime, my friends all went on to town without me because they were all jerks. Some friends they were, huh? When I got back to his house, my friend's mom started freaking out about all the blood on my knees and started to clean me up like any mom would do. When she noticed I had a lot of pain in my arm, she decided to call my mom at work. Let me tell you, that just scared me because in our house, you didn't call any of your parents at work unless it was an emergency. And I thought I was going to get the butt whooping of a lifetime. Well, my mom picked me up, took me to the hospital to get checked out. And it turns out the way that I fell, my left wrist didn't hit the ground palm down, but instead bent like it was trying, like as if I was trying to touch my fingers to my wrist.
No! No!
I thought I wouldn't. I thought I wouldn't get the numb fingers during this, but it's happening. My left hand is now tingling because I've empathized that pain. Thank you, Aaron. Anyways, it snapped. It snapped one of the bones in my wrist, and not realizing that this did in fact count as an emergency, I thought I was going to be even in even more trouble because we now had to make an extra trip to get a cast put on. Mm. Well, luckily, I soon discovered that I was not in trouble for all of this, but I was more scared about getting a butt whooping than I was about the pain I had already had from the bike wreck. Not necessarily too funny, but if you use this story, feel free to take liberties while reading it. Keep up the great show, Aaron.
No, it's great. Thing that sticks out about to me, other than the bone in his wrist, is the fact that he was so afraid, above all, of getting in trouble. I can relate to that so hard. Because if you had a strict mom, especially one that did butt whoopings, I mean, your whole goal in life was to avoid that situation. And you would do anything to keep from getting in trouble. And I would have gladly have suffered with a broken arm than have somebody go get my mom. Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble. I never broke anything growing up, so I never dealt with this. But both of my children have had their turns breaking bones. And I told them when they were little, I say, each of you get one bone. You can only break one. And Jenna immediately rebelled and broke both of her wrist bones there.
At the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And then after they healed, she went to play sports and broke them in the same place again the other way.
No.
Yeah. So she had a cast. Golly. She broke four bones. And then Jay, of course, recently broke his elbow. So broke the cap off the end of his elbow. But
I guess they showed you, huh? Well, yeah. I guess Jay's only broken one bone.
Yeah.
So.
He's still the best kid so far.
He's the rule follower. Yeah.
All right.
Only
we got
one, Dad.
We got TT Trucker, and this is from Ethan S. from T, South Dakota. Hey, James and John, it's Ethan. I'm writing to tell you guys a story. So we recently had gotten back from a trip to Omaha where we were just about home, and we were about to take the exit that would lead us straight to our town. And this is where we noticed a man standing with his truck door open, and he was holding over the side of the road with him facing the door hinge of the red truck. It kind of gave the impression that he was peeing. So we started to get closer, not because we wanted to, but rather because that was the place we had to make our turn for almost straight shot toward our town. And we soon realized that not only did it kind of look like he was peeing, that he actually was peeing. This man had pulled over, and on the exit of a very busy interstate, he had opened his door, gotten out, and started peeing. Not only was this disturbing, scarring, and also illegal, it sure did make for a strange experience, which is probably a questionable word to use to describe this incident. I love the show. Keep up the great work. Have a great day. Ethan S. from T, South Dakota. See, I don't know. This must have been traumatizing for him to experience this, but I live in the city, and we have alleyways. And we also live near nightlife spots, like bars and stuff. And peeing on buildings and peeing in alleyways is a way of life around here. And so this doesn't even make me blink. It's like, I bet truckers do this all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in St. Louis.
I will tell you one time, though, we were driving between Jacksonville and St. Mary's, Georgia. And on the side of the road was a very popular, huge mud bogging pit. And it happened to have billboards in this, just off to the side of the road that happened to be a part of the mud pit. Now, it wasn't official. Nobody had set this land aside for this purpose. It was just a cleared field, and a bunch of guys with 4x4s just decided, hey, let's mud bog, and so the billboards were legally there, but nobody else was. But there were tons of people at this particular day, and there were two women that had gone behind the billboards. And I say behind the billboards because from their point of view, they were behind the billboards. But from my point of view and everybody that was traveling 65 miles an hour down the highway, they were in front of the billboards. And both of them were squatting and peeing.
Oh, no.
Full mooning everybody.
Oh, no.
I don't know what they were thinking.
They
had their backs to us. Yeah. So I guess that was less embarrassing than doing it to the 100 or so people that were there.
I
don't know.
But full moon billboard.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Weird.
We're just going to go behind the sign here. There's nobody going to see us.
It's more like, ain't nobody going to see us.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, this is South Georgia.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to see nothing.
I don't care if somebody sees me. I just don't want Earl to see me.
And that's right. They probably had a little too much PBR, and so they had to go pee-pee.
There you go.
Was it my turn for the next one?
Yes, yes. Yes, indeed.
This comes to us from Katie, the Morgue girl. Ah. You know, the girl who couldn't spell morgue, and or couldn't sound out morgue and said morgue.
Yeah.
Hi, James and John. Your last episode reminded me of a story. This is a family fart, by the way. Thanks for letting me read it, James.
You're welcome, man. I gave you all the fart ones this week.
I got all the fart stories. You know, I don't think they're that funny.
Yeah, right. I did it just for you.
Yeah, thanks. So I can deliver them. Your last episode reminded me of a story, and I figured I'd tell it. Okay. Let me preface with the fact that I am lactose intolerant. And for those who don't know what that is, it basically means I can't digest dairy as well as normal people. Well, one of the well-known symptoms of lactose intolerance is incredibly stinky farts. So, I was hanging out in my mom and dad's room while we were watching a show. And we had eaten pizza for dinner, and I had forgotten to take a lactase pill with it. So, soon I felt a rumbling in my tummy, and I knew what was coming. I silently prayed that the smell wouldn't be horrendous, but I had no such luck. The smell it permeated the room, and my mom yelled at my dad, "You stink! Hooray, I had a scapegoat." Because, of course, ladies don't fart.
Right.
So I followed along and complained with her, "Yeah, Dad, you stink." "But it wasn't me," he said. "Who else would it be?" my mom gagged. I couldn't hold in my laughter and finally burst out laughing. "So it was you," my mom accused. I could only laugh as my dad, half laughing, half scolding, said, "You tried to pawn it off on me." I caught my breath and said, "Well, it worked." Not for long. My mom ended up kicking me out of the room and made me go to bed, but I still laugh about it to this day. Thank you guys for the show, and sorry if this isn't well written. I'm a bit sick, and my head feels foggy from all the farts.
Yeah.
Katie, the more goo girl.
No, it was very well written. Dude, good job. Good job. I think I shared this recently, but I'm constantly dropping SBDs. You know, silent but deadly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something to do with dieting or something. Cause I have never had such a problem with gas as I've had lately. and it just losing weight must be a side effect or something, or maybe I've changed my diet or whatever. But, I am very good at getting them out without making any noise. I assumed that I was getting them out without offending anyone with smell either. But Jay the other day was like talking about something and he just adds in, "And by the way," he says,
"And by the way,
we know when you fart, you're not getting away with anything." Yeah. It was just added on. It was tagged on to something else. I can't remember what it was.
He was talking about ham sandwiches in the old depth.
"And by the way, We know it when you fart." And I'm like, dadgummit. I've been trying to be so smooth and trying to be. It's just like what I was talking about on the show where I try to control things and I try not to offend people. But there are things about me that apparently just come out and you know, are going to do that. And I'm not even aware of it. So.
You rascal. You're just a rascal.
Just a bad man. That's what it is. I'm a bad human. Well, guys, that is all we have for you. These are the stories that wouldn't fit in the normal show. And you can see why. There's a couple of huge stories, just long stories. And so I hope you enjoyed it. And I appreciate your contributions and your support to this podcast. And thanks, John, for hanging out extra to do some bonus content for
always our people. Always a pleasure.
And we'll see you guys next week right here on That Story Show. Peace out.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Stories That Couldn't Fit on the Show, where we share stories that couldn't fit on the show. This one's called Drunk Snake by Igor Rugler from Guine, France. He says, I have a story for you that happened this week. It was late, so I decided I would go to sleep. Usually when I'm the last to go downstairs, I turn off the lights. So every night I go downstairs to get a glass of water. When I finish my glass of water, I go to turn off the light and I saw a big freaking snake. Now the snake, snake wasn't actually that big. I just wanted to make a reference to an old story. When I saw the snake, I called my parents. Of course, we had to catch it, but my dad accidentally scared it. So the snake went into a tiny hole. I hate that.
Those are these jerks, little jerk snake.
That's the thing. When they're out, you can get them, but when they hide, they're gone. They're invisible, and they're just living inside your house, and I can't handle that. I couldn't live there. Anyway, we tried to get it out using a stick. We tried spraying vinegar and alcohol into the hole.
Wow.
Were you crucifying somebody with that? What's the deal?
Give them something to drink, will you?
Yeah. The snake wouldn't budge. Well, I wonder why he wouldn't come back out the hole, you know? I mean, just imagine it from his perspective, with a stick coming in and then vinegar, it smells really great, and then alcohol. You're like, what is this, a party, or are you trying to get rid of me? I don't know. It turns out this hole was actually home to the Sacolgre Volcle. I don't know. It's something that he says in his language.
He's French.
A weird centipede, basically, that is very fast, and it falls from the ceiling. Trust me, it'll wake you up if it falls on you. I bet it would.
Oh, boy, yikes.
I'd wiggle and get myself out of there. Something quick. You never seen a fat man run like me if something squiggly got on me. Anyway, we eventually stopped spraying alcohol into the hole because at this point we thought the hole was too big. And we didn't want to empty all of our alcohol. Yeah, you gotta have it for yourself there.
So. Yeah, you gotta sanitize your hands with that stuff.
That way you can drink enough of it to be able to sleep knowing there's a snake in your house. So
right, that anyway, kind of alcohol.
The snake still hasn't left, and we're thinking about closing the hole. So please put this on the show, Igor from France.
Close the hole.
Don't close that hole. Open it
close
up.
The hole.
Find the snake, pull it out, and kill it. That's what you do.
Did I tell you about the snake I found in the ceiling here at the school?
No.
Oh, I don't know what it is with snakes and ceilings for me, but
goodness.
I was walking through the hall, and I look up, one of the ceiling tiles was removed, and there's a snake looking down at me. I mean, it wasn't as big as the one in my attic, but he's just looking down. I'm like, I'm going to catch that guy. And so I get a ladder and I put on some gloves because I didn't want to touch the snake.
Ugh.
And I reach up there to grab it. And he just like he's not even, he just slides backwards. You know, his little head sticking like, him. He just slides backwards.
He's not even worried about like, you.
I'm not worried. And it disappears. So somewhere in the attic of our school, there's a snake.
Oh, I hate
not.
Snakes.
Or not.
Hate them so much. I just do. Gosh, I hate snakes. They just all need to die. John, read us a story about not a tarantula.
It's not a tarantula. This comes to us from Travis in California. Hey, James and John, this is Travis from California. Love the show. Keep up the great, clean comedy. I have a story for you. I was about 12 years old. One day we were having a family movie night. Love them. I love family movies. My favorite time.
Yeah, we do those too. Every Friday.
Once a week. Pizza and a movie. That's the way we do it.
Yep. Same here.
Well, I went to the bathroom to relieve myself. Not the potty, mind you. The bathroom.
No moms needed.
Bob wasn't with me. I was 12. As I stood at the toilet, I looked over and there was a huge scorpion in the sink. I ran out of the bathroom in a panic, yelled, "Mom, there's a tarantula in the bathroom." Now, I do have to say I was a little prankster as a kid and both my parents said, "Yeah, right." My mom finally got up and went in the bathroom, and there was this huge scorpion, just as I had described. My mom screamed and yelled for my dad, correcting me, telling him it was, in fact, a scorpion. My dad came in, took some tweezers, grabbed the scorpion by the tail. My dad dropped it in the toilet and flushed. To this day, I'm now 35, I still look under the toilet lid to make sure I don't get stung. Hope you like my story.
Yeah, it's because he's afraid that the scorpion's going to come up through the water.
Yeah.
Climb up the side and then sting your butt. And that's exactly what I would be afraid of and would never use that bathroom ever again.
That's why you have to burn scorpions.
Yes, with fire. Put them in a microwave even. You know, just anything. Anything you can do to just turn them into a flaming husk of their former self.
Put them in the barbecue grill.
Yeah. They right along with all your snakes, just right there. Gosh. All right.
Oh, bad.
This one's called The Bad Suggestion. It's from Rachel from Virginia. Hi, James and John. A few episodes ago, I mentioned that my family attends a Baptist church led by the father and son Buzz Bachelors. I do remember that story.
Yes.
Well, I often help set up church for special events, aka excuses for potlucks. And one time I wish I hadn't. So I had finished decorating tables, and I walked into the church kitchen to find the senior pastor's wife making sweet tea. Did I mention this was a Baptist church?
You did.
We struck up a conversation, and I noted our limited variety of drinks and innocently asked, what if we serve pina coladas? Now, before you call me a heathen, let me explain. As a child, my family attended a church in a different denomination where alcohol wasn't frowned upon. So I'm not saying it was a regular practice, but at weddings and church outings, it wasn't unusual for the adults to have a glass or two of champagne. At weddings in particular, my friends and I would order the fizzy white drinks that tasted like coconut and pineapple sodas, not realizing they were alcoholic beverages. Well, in your case, they probably weren't. But anyway, but among Baptists who rarely even mention the word alcohol, frowned upon is an understatement. This pastor's wife, the essence of propriety itself, stopped stirring the tea and stared at me with eyes wide open. "You mean for church dinner?" she asked. I nodded, not understanding her shocked expression. And after a bit of silence, she asked, "Do you know that that's got alcohol in it?" John, I wished I had turned into a bat and flown away, but instead I didn't. Instead, all I could do was stupidly shake my head, mortified by this revelation. The pastor's wife laid down her spoon and hooted with laughter at my naive ignorance. As if that weren't bad enough, she proceeded to tell everyone who came into the kitchen about my drink suggestion. Sigh. Anyway, thanks for reading this and my other stories on the show. Quick question. Is there any reason you guys stopped playing songs at the beginning of the shows? Just wondering. Keep up the great work. God bless. Rachel from Virginia. Yeah, we quit playing them because we didn't have the rights to do it. So
we don't want people to take our show away from us.
Yeah. So we don't want to quit. So sorry about that. Those are old shows you're referencing there too. So
yeah.
Thanks for listening to them.
But. Yeah. That was fun. Yeah. That's funny. You know, it's that whole alcohol thing it's an interesting thing about stuff with people.
Yeah. Cause sometimes like I heard of a situation one time where some people, this deacon was in the hospital and the people wanted to bless him. So they snuck into his house and they brought dinner over and kind of set up the table and everything like that. And part of doing this was opening his fridge where they found, some beers in there. And it was the biggest scandal in the world.
Oh yeah.
This guy was having a few beers. And so, for some churches, it's a big no-no. I know with the Assemblies of God, I'm not allowed to have alcohol.
Right.
So, and it's not a big deal for me anyway, cause I don't drink anyway, whatever. I don't care. But I don't think it's that big a deal if people do it with moderation. So.
Right. Indeed. That's the key. I've been to churches that, you know, they use actual wine for the communion.
Yeah. So is my daughter. So it was quite a shock.
This has gone bad.
So I swear. It's not like it tastes good. Ugh. So.
Wow. I got a story from Robert Harrington, our friend out in Nevada. That's not an ice cream truck. That's not. About 3 weeks ago, before the world started to end, an ice cream truck was making its rounds in my neighborhood. It was the first of the season. It took me back to when I was a kid. It also reminded me of a story my mom tells when we had moved to Okinawa, Japan in 1978. My dad was in the Air Force. I was 5. It was a strange country, a strange culture, and we had to live off base for 6 months until a house became available on base. It must have been the first week we were there. My mom and I were at home watching the only English-speaking channel available when I heard the music of an ice cream truck. The twinkling music was different but unmistakable to a 5-year-old. Longing for something familiar and comforting, "Ice cream," I cried. We hurried outside to find a small pink truck stopping at every house. My mom said, "I'm sorry, it's not an ice cream truck." My mom was straight up lying to me. "Ice cream truck," I screamed. She tried to explain that it was a garbage truck. Come to find out later that she was right.
We never found out
why they painted the garbage truck pink and had them play music. But apparently it was, I was inconsolable for quite a while. That's weird, man. A pink garbage truck that plays music.
Only in Okinawa, man.
Okinawa. And he says, "P.S. When the ice cream truck came down my street 3 weeks ago, I flagged it down and got 2 drumsticks, one for myself and one for my son. Take that, Mom."
Yeah. And then I flagged down the garbage truck and I got one banana peel for me and one trash bag for my son. Take that, Mom.
Yeah. Half-eaten sandwich.
Just drove around the city in my brand new garbage truck.
A pink garbage truck that plays music. That's weird.
That is weird. Well, guys, that is all of our bonus stories that wouldn't fit into the show. Thank you so much for your support as a patron. And we'll see you guys next week right here. The same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you very much, John, for another great episode.
Thanks, James.
And we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, welcome to Stories That We Couldn't Fit Under the Show, where we tell stories that we couldn't fit on the show, even though this show was shorter and we could have fit more on the show. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Me and John have theories. We don't know really what happened, but it just did. This one's from Steffi L. She says, "I love your show. I listen to it every Thursday night before I go to bed, and I really enjoy it. Actually, I'm listening to it now." Wow.
Awesome.
Hopefully this story will make it on the show. Well, kind of. Okay, it kind of made it on the show. So to begin with, I have 7 brothers, and I'm the only girl.
Oh, mercy.
And we're all homeschooled.
So where does your son go to school?
All right.
Wow, 7 brothers?
Yeah, when I was 13, Me and my mom were folding laundry in the living room, and my 14-year-old brother came in with a book that I had really wanted to read for a while, so I grabbed it from him, and he started chasing me. Now, where do you run when someone starts chasing you? I ran to my room. If I ran to my room, he would come in and mess everything up, so I had no choice but to run into the bathroom. We had an old house, and the doorknobs didn't lock, so my mom had gotten a hook and eye latch. You know, hook and eye latch.
Yeah, a little hook. Yeah. Usually you see them on like a screen door or something going out.
Yeah, or a shed door or something like that. Not usually in the house, but, you know, it's homeschool life. That's how they roll. Anyway, so I ran in the bathroom and I put my hand up to lock the door. Bad idea. So my brother came and he pushes on the door and my ring finger on my right hand got caught between the lock and the door. And literally smashed it flat. I screamed, and my mom came yelling at me for screaming, and she looked at my finger and was like, oh, that's why you're screaming. Okay.
Oh,
I had broken my finger right at the beginning of the fingernail. So it looked like it bent where it wasn't supposed to bend. It's always better to read these than to have to listen to them. So I'm like totally fine. So we went to the ER and literally sat there for 4 hours before the doctor even looked at it. And by then, I'm in tears. It hurt so bad. Anyway, they fixed it up in like 8 hours after we got there. And we finally got to go home. But that's not the worst part.
What's the worst part?
I am dangerously allergic to poison ivy. And about and about 3 weeks before I broke my finger, I got poison ivy. My eyes swelled shut and I was covered in poison ivy. So I missed church for 3 weeks and I couldn't go outside. So I was stuck inside for 3 weeks. And so it was on Wednesday when I broke my finger and I was finally going to be able to go to church that night. And I broke my finger at like 3 p.m. So church was out. I was so disappointed.
Oh,
homeschool life.
It's the only place you can go. I need to interact with some people. I need some social.
I want to see other people that don't look like me.
No, I broke my finger.
I have 7 brothers. For the love of God, help me. So to make it worse, when I got to the hospital, I was covered in scabs from the poison ivy. So, so as a 13-year-old girl, I was very embarrassed. Anyway, it was an awful day. But a year later, my brother broke his own finger on a lawnmower. So I guess we're even.
I guess. I
hope this story wasn't too long or confusing. I love your show. Thanks for reading this. Steffi L. So there you go.
Steffi. First of all, I'm sorry that she has 7 brothers.
Yeah, goodness. 7.
I mean, I guess she's going to be well cared for and stuff, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the boyfriend that shirks her for the first time.
Yeah. You know? She's going to have 7 guys.
Breaks her little heart. Yeah.
But they'll do it in a very respectful way because homeschoolers are always respectful.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, most of the ones I interact with are so.
Most of them have weapons, access to weapons that I know.
It's true. They hunt.
How about going hunting? Because he shoots animals. I'll never do that. But I'll eat them.
I'll eat them. No problem there. It's great.
Oh, boy. I got a story from Emily. And I love this story. Let me read it to you. This story takes place the day after my husband proposed to me.
Aww.
We were driving back to my house with the radio on a country music station after our first walk in the park as fiancé and fiancée. He pulled out some gum and offered me a piece. Before I could answer, he said, I always feel awkward about offering you gum because I want you to be able to have a piece if you want one. But I don't want you to feel like I'm only offering it because I think your breath smells bad. It doesn't. Then he said, do you want some gum? He paused. Then I said, he paused and then added, I like your breath. Except in an attempt to be cute, he made the word breath plural. I like your breaths, he said. And it sounded exactly like it sounded. And like he was talking about my puppy warmers, referring to another episode.
Yeah.
I like your breaths. I like your
gosh.
Breaths. Never in my life. And I'm getting embarrassed.
I know. I don't want to say it anymore.
No, never in my life have I seen him look more appalled than he did in that moment. His eyes grew wide. His face turned bright red. And then he began muttering, breath. I meant breath. I like your breath. Breathe. His embarrassment at his accidentally inappropriate comments sent me laughing so hard I could barely catch my breath. I laughed and laughed all the way home and didn't stop until a minute or two after he had parked the car in front of my house. As I finally stopped laughing, all was silent for a split second. And then the voice of Alison Krauss came through the radio singing, "You say it best when you say nothing at all." We looked at each other and he turned red all over again. And I burst out laughing all over again. It's been a little over a year since that day. And my husband still keeps me laughing by accidentally saying dumb stuff.
Emily, thank you.
I can relate so well with that.
I like your breaths.
Oh. I like your breaths. I wonder what his mamaw would say about that. Mamaw. That was last week, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for not making me say mamaw.
Yeah, exactly. You guys should weave in stuff that you want John to say, and I'll make sure he has to say it.
Mamaw. I like your breaths.
Kyle Kennedy writes, "The first memory I have is of playing with my friends in preschool. Looking back on the things that my friends and I did, they were just stupid. But at the time, they seemed to be the coolest things ever. A simple example of the stupidity that ensued as a child is one time I was playing and my friends decided you could slide down the larger of the two playground slides on your back. And if you did that, that you would be cool. And so stupid me decides, let's slide down like we're cool then. So, so
it's logical.
It would make sense if the slides were not made of metal back then and they didn't have pointy bottoms. I distinctly remember when I reached the bottom of the slide, a horde of teachers came running to me asking if I was all right. I'm surprised he didn't just flip end over end. But at the time, I still hadn't noticed the blood flowing from the back of my head. So I thought I'd only bump my head on the bottom of the slide. I nonchalantly started rubbing my head to show that I was fine and there was nothing there but a bump. But then I looked at my hand. My hand was a mess of red at that point. It didn't take me long to figure out that I had hit my head on the pointy bottom part of the slide and it slit a portion of my head clean open.
Gee whiz, come on. You have to say slit clean open?
Slit clean open.
Something different?
Cleanly.
Why are you reading all the pain stories?
I don't know. It's accidental, I promise you.
I promise you it probably isn't.
I immediately started to cry, as would be expected, but not because of the pain. I was crying because I had just gotten a new shirt. And at this point, it had become stained and red by the obscene amounts of blood pouring from my skull. Kyle Kennedy. Kyle, if you're going to cry about your shirt. That's the right thing to cry about. No, you need to
care about pain. It's my shirt.
It's my shirt. It's my outfit. It's very... Anyway.
I just don't like blood.
I don't like kids anymore either. Seriously, I've decided... that kids only have two kinds of stories, okay? Because I do Red School Bus with my son, and they only have two kinds of stories. One of them is gross stories, like dogs eating their own puke and poop and stuff. And then they have pain stories, like this one.
Pain stories.
Because that's the only things that stick out in their mind is when they broke something or something fell off or something got slit clean open. You know, it's the only stories that they have. They don't have these little cute party stories around the house that one time my dog did this cute thing and made this noise and it was just so hilarious. And my boyfriend did that. They don't have boyfriends. They don't have stories like that. They don't have anything. So it's either gross or painful and oftentimes both. So, that's what I've decided.
Gross. And it's because it's all about the reaction with kids, I think, right?
Yeah.
They don't care about the story. They want to see what you're going to do about the story they tell you. So.
Yeah, that too. I think it's that too.
Because I'm sure that Kyle didn't think it was funny getting his head slit open.
No, but it's the only story he's got. You know, he doesn't have any other kind.
with the preschool story, man.
With the adults, you get I got a story about getting shot with a camera. A kid would never tell that story because he would still be traumatized by being shot by a camera.
My dad was mean to me. I didn't want the banana, but yeah. He gave it to me, and now I understand.
So a child would never come forward with that story ever until he got old enough to realize how ridiculous it was. So instead, it's, I was running around the corner, and my teeth caught my fall, you know, and my teeth fell out. That was literally a story on the last Red School Bus, is this kid fell and caught her fall on her teeth. And one of them came out, the other one cracked in half, and she had to, her dentist suggested to the parents to stick it back in the hole. Ah!
Ah! That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, but anyway.
I think I might know that kid.
They didn't do that. They didn't do that.
Well, I've got a story from Ben Kaufman in Bozeman, Montana. Awesome. Let me just say, I started following somebody on TikTok who's from Montana. She's a farmer, mm-hmm. and she takes these incredible pictures. But Montana is an awesome state, so I'm just going to say that.
Awesome.
So Bozeman is, I don't even know where that's at.
Props,
I think it's
to Montana.
Montana. Yeah, here we go. So my family and I were driving across the country, which pretty much is anywhere in Montana. Across the country is a huge state. And then we had to stay in a hotel for the night. We decided to go swimming, and we were delighted to find that we were the only ones in the pool, in the pool room. In Montana, I know this because I've been to Billings, and when we went swimming there, they keep their pools inside these big buildings, like that's attached, because that way they can climate control it and you can go swimming anytime, because being able to swim is important. Other times of the year it's just too cold and stuff. So.
Oh, okay.
So they were the only ones in the pool room. And soon we found out why. There was a giant spider guarding the bottom of the pool, making sure no one came into his domain. There was a hot tub, so we decided to go for that instead. Once we sat down in the hot tub, our heads were eye level with the floor. About 2 feet away, there was another large spider.
No spiders. Staring
into our souls. It was a little bit startling. But me, being the dad and protector of my family, decided to take matters into my own hands.
No.
I splashed the water on the spider. It started running in circles like a cheetah with five legs, very fast. When it finally stopped, it was still only 3 feet away. So I splashed it again. I started running in circles again. This time, instead of stopping, the grotesque demon spider ran right over to the entrance of the hot tub. Hopped up.
It just hopped in. Hello, everybody. You didn't like me. I like y'all. I'm here.
I'm going to put one of my eight legs around each one of you.
I hate spiders.
I'm not a big fan either. They kind of are gross. And in Montana, they're probably huge.
Yeah.
But since there's only one entrance to the hot tub, we all screamed and climbed up the walls to get
where are you guys going? Hey,
I just want to be here with you. Well, we gave up on swimming that night and went back to our room to watch TV. Yes. P.S. Love your show, Ben Kaufman.
Hope this makes it on the show. Yeah. No, he didn't say that. I just wanted to ring the bell.
Nice. Well, I'm not a big fan. Spiders.
No, I don't like them. I don't like nothing to do with them. Around here, though, the most popular kind of bug that we get are these centipedes with these long, bristly legs, and they are dumb as bricks. You know how roaches are smart. When you turn on the lights or get close to them, they run, man. They run.
That's right.
These centipedes, they just
sense your shoe.
They just stand there. You can take your time and go find something properly to hit them with. Because they will wait. They're like, oh, you're going to kill me? Great. That is exactly what I had on my schedule today, was to be killed on this wall. And they will wait for you. And
they've got 100 legs. You think they'd be faster?
Yeah, I always expect them to just do this big wiggle dance out of the way, but they never do. They always just wait there silently, like they've accepted their fate. Yeah,
I've been spotted. I'm going to die.
It's just
go out with a flare.
Part of my life. Well, guys, those are the stories that we couldn't fit on the show. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting this podcast. Without you, there would be no podcast. And so we appreciate all of your support. And we will see you guys next week. So take care.
Bye.
Thanks, John. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, James.